taught me again.
Welcome back to Building the Bach, and I'm your host, Jason Spies. In our weekly one-on-one feature, we sit down with Dr. Lauren Scott. Dr. Scott is president and founder of Lauren Scott & Associates. He was also on the Economic Department faculty at Louisiana State University from 1969 to 1998. He is a heavyweight when it comes to oil and gas information. Today's one-on-one interview is brought to you by The Crude Life. When you have a project that requires a crude approach, contact The Crude Life. Visit their website at www.thecrudelife.com. And now, back to our interview with Dr. Lauren Scott.
The way you'd want to be. Never fall too far away.
My name is Dr. Lauren C. Scott. I am president of Lauren C. Scott & Associates and also professor emeritus of economics from LSU.
I should point out, this is our second LSU guest as Coach Dale Brown we had on the show about a year ago.
Good buddy of mine. Minot, North Dakota, right?
Yeah, you bet. Minot, North Dakota. That's right. Minot, as you said. Everybody called it. Dale Brown talked about leadership in an organization, and I'll just ask you this question up front, and this has nothing to do with natural gas.
All right.
Longevity within a management team, just like a coaching staff, how important is that to the success of an organization? Longevity within a, you know, take what Coach Brown said about a coaching staff and apply that into a business world. Does that even matter today, longevity?
I don't know. I mean, it depends on how smart the person is that's in there, you know. If you got somebody that's really dumb, and the last thing you want is longevity. So, I mean, I'm not a management expert, so I don't really know. I think it's the thing that longevity brings to a firm is longevity brings a knowledge of the infrastructure, all the nuances within a firm. If you're the head of Blue Cross Blue Shield, it is such a tedious industry, so much tedium in it, that if you know, there's a lot of institutional knowledge that you picked up over time that really helps you make good decisions. On the other hand, if you've been there a whole long time, maybe you're stayed, and maybe you don't react fast enough to change, maybe you don't do enough change. I know, but this is not my field, to be honest with you.
That is an interesting point, though, and that was a pop question. So thank you for answering it.
Right.
Okay, let's get into the natural gas side of things. Vicki Steiner, she's a state representative in the state of North Dakota, and she spent some time down in Louisiana doing some speaking, some touring. And on this program, she said it's like Chemical Row down there. Just your comments elaborating on her observations down in Louisiana. What's happening down there?
Well, number one, it is Chemical Row. If you go on I-10, you come up from New Orleans. I-10 goes to New Orleans, and you go to New Orleans to Baton Rouge over to Lake Charles in the southwest corner. That's I-10 corridor. All along there, you have the three things that chemical firms need. You need lots of water. You have the Mississippi River, the Gulf of Mexico, the Calcasieu Ship Channel in Lake Charles. You need a way to move bulk products, which most of these chemical firms are moving bulk products. Barge is the cheapest, and ships the cheapest way to do that. You have the river. And number three, you need lots of natural gas. We got lots of natural gas there. So even before the recent boom, Louisiana was number two in the nation in terms of chemical production. Second only to Texas. Texas has those same three things that I mentioned. But now what's going on is you're having a huge industrial expansion of all those firms and brand new firms coming in. And the reason for that is because they are huge users of natural gas. And the price of natural gas has dropped a lot. At one point, $14 a million BTU, down to around $4 now. And more importantly, the price has dropped here. It has not dropped in Europe. And so what is happening is that even though the world demand for chemicals has not changed very much because the world economy is not doing very well, what is happening is the U.S. share of the world chemical market is growing because we're kicking the behinds of the Europeans. They can't compete with us when they're having to pay $12 per million BTU for natural gas. And so there is in Louisiana today about $104 billion worth of announced expansions. Some of them underway, some of them just completed, a number of them at the potential stage. They're still putting their ducks in order. But it is an unheard of expansion. And so when Ms. Steiner came to Louisiana, their big question for her was, how do you run crew camps? How do you do that? Because our problem is we're going to have this huge influx of industrial construction workers. We don't have enough ourselves to build $104 million worth of plants. We're bringing them in. And the question is, where are we going to put them? We don't have enough. We don't begin to have enough apartments or rental. So they're building crew camps in Lake Charles, just like they're building crew camps up in Bakken. And so she's getting all kinds of questions. What kind of regulations do you have? How do you run these? How do you keep them, you know, this is turning into chaos? So that's one of the things she ran into there.
Has North Dakota been a little bit of a test market for, say, crew camps, maybe some fracking chemistries,
Well, it's certainly been a gold mining town during the gold rush. That's what's going on in North Dakota. I mean, we saw this in the late 70s in Louisiana, when the price of crude went from about $3 up to $35.
Mm-hmm.
We had a big boom in the Lafayette, Houma area, which just went crazy. And we had the same sort of issues y'all did, except we didn't have crew camps. Mm-hmm. We were still trying to build stuff for these folks. But you've figured out how to frack your particular kind of shale efficiently. And it's turned into a boom, because you've gone from, when I first started watching, producing 10,000 barrels per day, now you're producing 1,000,001. It's just amazing.
In a short period of time.
In a short period of time. So you've done that. You've learned some things about shale, your shale, some of which is transferable to other shale plays. All the shale plays are different. Yeah. All of them are weird, right? Like our shale play in Louisiana, y'all's is a real hard rock. Ours is clayey. It's real mushy. See, when you try to crack it, the cracks don't stay open. So we have to, your techniques do not transfer equally easily down to where we are. And so when you taught it, you teach us things about that. You teach us things about how to do labor, how to handle crew camps and things like that, which is something we really didn't know about. So we're learning a lot from Bobby.
I know the oil companies want us to teach private mineral rights to every state in the nation.
That
I know.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a tougher question here. Natural gas, $4 U.S., $12-$15 in the U.K., $7-$9 in China, Asia markets. Do you see a world price happening here with this amount of investment happening, or do we need to jump a big import-export hurdle first? That's kind of a double-barrel question.
I think we have a big export hurdle to go. Here's the problem you got. In order for it to become a world market, you have to be able to move the natural gas all over the place, just like today we move oil. Now, we have at least 3,700 very large crude carriers to move along the surface of the oceans, take it all wherever it gets the highest price. That's why the price is the same just about everywhere. The problem with LNG is we have, about 340 LNG carriers. We don't begin to have enough LNG carriers, I think, to make it a world price anytime soon. I just think that's a good ways out. And you have to have countries that are totally willing to allow their natural gas to be exported. You know, there is only one LNG export facility that's got every one of its permits fully in place to export, and they've been building their plant. That's Cheniere down at Lake Charles. They're building six trains. Now, there's just some key permits that you have to have. One is you have to have the right to even export. That's from the Department of from FERC. But importantly for these companies, you have to have the right to export to non-free trade partners. That is a very key thing. Because Mexico doesn't need very much of our natural gas. Canada doesn't need any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Who needs it is Japan and Europe. They're not free trade partners of it. Cheniere has that permit. The other ones don't have that permit. Boy, they're ready to go. They got contracts in place. They don't have the permit. So you also, in order to become a world market, countries have to be sign off on you exporting that natural gas out of our country.
Okay.
And the chemical firms don't want it to be exported out of the country. I mean, Dow, and they don't want it exported out because they said the more natural gas stays here, the lower the price is going to be, and they use lots of it. So you got some people who don't want this export to happen.
But like a company like One Oak, for example, now they want to export it out.
Right.
Whereas Dow wants to keep it.
If you're a producer,
right,
you want it exported, because that's the only way you get the price up in it. If you're a user, you want to keep the price down, and so the chemical companies have been fighting. They don't like this at all.
All right, last question, and we'll let you get back to your daily chores here at the conference. Appreciate the time. I wrote down a comment that you made in your presentation, and you can bypass this, and that might have been just for those years only, but climate change.
And that was Dr. Lauren Scott. To listen to the full-length interview or other one-on-one features, visit our website at buildingthebakken.com. And that interview is brought to you by The Crude Life. When you have a project that requires a crude approach, contact The Crude Life. Visit their website at www.thecrudelife.com.
Treat everybody right, the way you'd want to be. Never fall too far.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBI Energyservices.com.